Oh God. Sorry, if you had said something that made more, if you made sense, but I didn't hear it, I was thinking of something else for a split second. I hate it when that happens. When you're in the middle of a conversation with people and like your brain just,
oh God. Not you.
Welcome to AE Double Back.
God damn it.
September 1st, 2020. Hey, just be thankful that I didn't start like, what was it, about 8 minutes earlier?
Yeah. Chan has hit on a new strategy of letting a moment ripe to embarrass one of us pass and lulling us into security and then like startling us by picking an okay moment to go.
Well, yeah. Okay. So we have a lot to talk about. Should we start with the t-shirts? Because there's tons of shirts.
There's a million shirts.
I haven't even looked.
Oh, my God.
Just all over the place.
I'm not even sure if I've looked at them all yet.
I'm literally not even on the same coast as y'all, so I don't even know what's going on.
Robert is in Brooklyn just because he wanted to see some weather.
That's and not he got my game. I absolutely do not care for weather. Not at all.
Well, I mean, he's missing out on some great fires and stuff. So, you know, too bad.
Yeah. So there's a ton of shirts on Shop AEW. Let's just do a very quick rundown.
Good God. Yeah. Bullet points.
Starting with Varsity Blondes. I really like this shirt. It just looks like, you know, one of those generic sports varsity, you know, I don't know, something you'd pick up at PacSun or something like this. I like it. Sells it really well and it looks good. Thumbs up.
Great gimmick. I don't care for the gimmick, so I wouldn't buy this shirt. Yeah. No, no, no. Like design wise, A+.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure if I'm looking in the right place.
You have to, it's like if you see new arrivals.
Yeah. Okay.
If you expand.
Oh. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Here we are. Yeah. I like this one. It definitely fits.
Absolutely.
It seems like a shirt you might wear if you were like addicted to wearing wrestling garb, and then like there was an event.
Yeah.
Where
this one's like. Like kind of you know if you know because the design is so like off.
But
is
also it's like
wrestling gear.
What's that?
What?
Is this shirt the methadone of wrestling gear?
No, what I mean is that like if you absolutely had to wear a wrestling shirt without anyone knowing you were wearing a wrestling shirt,
yeah,
like if for some reason like you had to like if you were like wearing one around someone who was gonna like rip you for it. Like you would wear this one because it looks like a regular shirt. Like it doesn't look like it looks like one of those like shirts that just says XXL on it or whatever.
Yeah.
The scenario you're crafting is really specific.
No, but I understand. I totally get it because I have a Morrissey sweatshirt that's very similar. It has something to do with one of his latest albums, I guess.
It's a Morrissey sweatshirt disguised as a Big Dog sweatshirt.
I mean, no, but it actually has this sort of Varsity Blondes look to it, actually. Ooh. Because it has something to do with sports and school and prep school and I don't remember what. But anyways, I liked it because it looked not like a concert t-shirt. You know what I mean?
Nice.
Even though secretly it was. But also I have a Lucha Brothers shirt that's like the Loteria cards. And that also you don't know unless you know, or if you inspect the cards really well.
No.
And who's attentive these days?
So we need to run through these quickly.
Yeah.
This was too long.
Yeah.
Next we have Sons of a Gun. I guess it's fine. It's the Gun Club, I guess. The
guess.
Sons of Billy Gunn. And I just am like, it's okay.
I like it.
I'm not into them, so I don't really care.
It's simple and it's well timed. Mm-hmm. And we'll get to more on that.
We have already spent way too much time on anything gun related.
Okay. Well, we got Dante Martin's shirt. This is one of my favorites.
Yeah.
It's called Inhuman. It's basically
thing, like he's inhuman or something.
Inhuman because of how he flies.
Right. But I mean, like, is that a word that they've been using on the announced desk?
I think people, when they talk about his skill, it's seemingly inhuman. He flies higher, longer.
Well, I get it. And it makes total sense. I'm just,
why are you asking?
No, Chan is trying to understand if like they're using that as a word for him specifically.
But I don't like, know. Maybe not.
Things yet. Or if it's coming.
Maybe not, but it does definitely just, when you see it, you're like, oh, uh-huh, yep.
Yeah. No, I like it.
I love the lettering. I love the imagery. It's fucking awesome.
I'm not that into it. I like the colors, but I'm sort of disinterested in the design, I guess.
Well, there are four coming up that I'm less interested in as well.
Interesting.
This is AEW clothesline apparel collaboration. There's four. One is with Sammy Guevara. Don't like it. One is with Thunder Rosa. This one I kind of like, but the vibe of these shirts is kind of like what you buy on the street outside of a concert, like not the official gear that they would sell inside. You know what I mean? The stuff that people are like knocking off outside. That's what the look of these are.
It looks like the Hot Topic shirt.
There's a Malachi Black shirt that's actually okay. The Sting shirt I kind of like only because I think it's funny because obviously he gets his look from The Crow, right? And they're like, just so you don't forget, there's this huge crow kind of looming in the background. I just think it's funny. But it's cool, you know.
Yeah, I see what they're like, the unity of design on these, and they're fine, but I don't know if I'm supposed to know who Clothesline Apparel is, but they don't move the dial for me at all. So like, eh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't care about that.
We're coming up. These next two shirts are like kind of my favorite things on earth. One is Death Triangle. The name of the shirt is Curse. This is the coolest fucking thing ever.
Real great writer vibe on this.
It's cool, and yet the dominant shape on a Death Triangle shirt is a circle.
Well, but in the very center of that, do you see there's like two triangles?
Yeah.
There's a black triangle, and then there's a little red triangle.
I do see that.
Mm-hmm.
When you put their jaw lines together, it forms a triangle.
It's like a hidden Mickey, but a triangle.
Mm. You know, it's pretty cool. It's like that picture of a vase, but it's actually two faces.
It's levels, man. It's like when you stare at it, all of a sudden it's like a sailboat.
What it reminds me of is the monster from Forbidden Planet, if anyone ever saw that movie, when it passes through the perimeter fence, the electrical fence, and you see the shape of it in animation, which is super cool.
Yeah. I hope someone gets that reference you about it.
Very, very popular film.
Come on. Okay. Love Leslie Nielsen back before he was
Nielsen, Walter Pigeon, a classic
Pigeon.
A classic Shakespeare adaptation.
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, that's cool.
Now I love this next one.
This is one of the greatest shirts. Kenny Omega's Directive. Oh my God.
Yeah. This is
delightful. I love the color. I love everything about this shirt.
Very,
very, it feels like a lot of Japanese wrestling shirts.
I'm never not going to want any of them that has Japanese writing on it because it feels like another one of those, if you know, you know, like you definitely must be like fairly deep in if you have this one.
Well, maybe it says goodbye and good night because it has goodbye and good night on there in English as well.
It says Kenny Omega.
Hmm.
Oh. Well, that's interesting.
I think he's saying in the English part.
What? No. The Japanese writing
also says it.
Omega. Yes.
Oh.
Hmm. Let's see. The rest of the shirts are, wait, no, we have a Chris Statlander shirt, which is decent.
It's almost as good as the last one.
I like that one a lot. Some of it is the, what is that called? Like Heather or something like that. Airman itself, really, makes the decal on it pop. And it's, the decal is like really bright and pat, pat, pow.
It's a great, like late '70s, early '80s, like arena rock band look.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
This
yeah.
shirt color is actually called Black Marble. The Kenny Omega shirt is Heather. Heather tends to be more of a purpley color.
Teresa will accept your apology, Chan.
Look, guys don't have as many cones in their eyes as women, so color isn't their strong point.
Look, I'm amazing at color because today I picked a new color for our bathroom. So, you know, like, hey. You're not going to catch me that way.
And look, I have jammed more drumsticks into my eye, so I have cones. I tell you what. There have been in my eye. That was a stretch.
I got cones on top of cones, baby. Scoop some ice cream in them.
Yeah, this is eyeball talk.
There's a nice like a charity shirt for pediatric cancer, which actually AEW did like a little thing in Chicago with they teamed up with some firefighters that also were helping with Pediatric Cancer Foundation. And so they did like a little meet and greet at a fire station, which I thought was cool.
I don't really care for, there's a little thing here that says pile drive pediatric cancer. And that feels very 80s in a way that I don't care for. Just
too 80s to you to be against cancer?
No, to specifically do a finishing move on cancer itself just seems a bit much.
I know, like I have these feelings as well. I hate it when like the whole stand up to cancer campaign that was going on, like the reason why I hate it is because it's like what you think people don't think. People just like lay back and they're like, all right, cancer, I'll let you ravage my body.
I have seen a lot of people just with like cancer be in bed.
The connotation is that like, you know, you have to, you know, work really hard to get rid of cancer. And yes, your body is working at it. And yes, you sort of have to mentally go through the ringer at the same time. And that is work and that is fighting. But at the same time, it's like you're not actually doing it. And you're sometimes just left to the mercy of, you know, the ethers, you know, whatever the fuck your body responds to. You know what I mean? And so it's like, kind of fingers crossed situation. And I don't like the idea because then it's like, well, did I not fight hard enough? You know, I just would hate for anyone to have those feelings. My brother had cancer when he was young and it's like, it just sucks. You know, like there's so many things that you're going through already. I just don't want to add that to it. Like, just breathe. That's all you got to really do right now.
You don't want to make just feel like they should be pile driving.
You know, yeah. Or like, you tell that cancer where to go. You stand up next time. You don't let it take your lunch money. You don't let it give you a swirly. You know, like whatever. That's my dumb little spiel. I'm going to have a lot of those, I think, today. So it's unfortunate.
I want to stress my personal opinion that if you lose to cancer, it means you're weak.
Yeah, I think we can all agree on that just across the board. Anyone would think that.
So all right, the rest of the shirts, there are three shirts devoted to All Out 2021, and it's basically just match up shirts. And if you're into that kind of thing, cool.
I think the whole event one is kind of all right. The individual match ones, I guess I would not do.
Yeah, unless it's like you're losing your mind over the last fight. Who knows? What if this is the actual final fight of Jericho?
Well, I mean, I would only start wanting that one if and when they have another fight.
Yeah. Or they don't.
I'd buy it
on the back end.
Way this Jericho's final fight is if he is, if like a satellite lands on him 2 weeks from now and he is splattered all across a continent, because wrestlers will always come back.
Maybe.
Well, I mean, is it like, I guess it could be a double meaning, like it's potentially his final fight, but because they say the final fight, I assume they're like, he won't face MJF again. We promise, put it down. You can yell at us if we go back on this.
Yeah, I will. All right. So those are the shirts.
Now, yeah, a lot of options.
Thanks for joining us. We're done. I'm kidding.
Good God.
So there's certain things we should talk about when it comes to Rampage. We don't have to talk about everything, but the first thing we want to talk about is Jurassic Express versus the Lucha Brothers. I was really worried because I wanted the Lucha Brothers to win, and you know, Jurassic Express has such a huge love from the peoples that I was like, what if Jurassic Express are the ones that go forward? But the Lucha Brothers actually did win. And this was a crazy match, insane match. There were so many near pins. I was dying through the whole thing. I loved it so much. Rey Fénix is a fucking banana boats superstar. Oh my God, it was so good. And then afterwards they all shook hands and held up everybody's hands, and I thought it was really cool.
It was great. It was to me very surprising, because I certainly assumed that not that the Lucha Brothers are unpopular or even wildly significantly less popular, but it certainly felt like it was going to be Jurassic Express, because they were somehow like more the feel good, team, and like they've had more moments where they were presented as these are the guys, and over again the Lucha Brothers have been like, yeah, they do insane impossible moves, but they are not getting close. So I was really quite shocked.
Yeah. The other thing we should talk about is Ty Conti versus the Bunny. I loved this match. I loved it. I thought it was a lot of fun. Bunny actually ended up winning because she used brass knuckles against Ty Conti. Cool. And Penelope Ford is buds with Bunny. So this is a cool thing that's happening.
Yeah. And that's starting to pay off in a way in this show that I'm a real big fan of.
Yeah. Side note, I think Christian Cage is very mumble mouthed, and he repeats himself, and he repeats the same words within the same sentence. And it's almost like he's not as creative as Kirk Van Houten, but he sounds like a Kirk Van Houten when he's trying to compose like a good phrase.
You're saying Christian Cage is not capable of can I borrow a feeling?
No, he couldn't even come up with the different words like glove and love. He would rhyme glove with glove. You know what I mean?
It rhymes.
It does. All right. So now Dynamite. The first match is between FTR and Santana Ortiz. Now, I was very excited for this match, but also super, super cringed anytime Cash Wheeler did anything.
Sure. Yeah.
Because I am very, very worried about his fucking arm, man. and I can't believe he was like as active as he was and doing as much as he was. I wouldn't even be going near those turnbuckles like for the rest of my life if it were me. But
I certainly thought like there was a high probability that he would be in there largely as window dressing. Not the case.
No.
I mean, I feel like that's part of their aesthetic, and part of the reason why they were so over before they even got in is because, you know, like they're sort of people that you think of as like legitimately tough and will legitimately work through, you know, even when they shouldn't be, you know, like working through injuries and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I feel bad, but also I get it.
Yeah, the feelings around this whole thing are real tough. Like I this match, like I, you know, carried the baggage of like I'm sitting there and I'm like, take this in, because, you know, unlike a different match that we have yet to come, this like seems like it really, you know, like this could be it for Cash Wheeler.
Yeah.
He is giving the last full measure for us.
Yeah.
And like, I better dig it, because I'm going to feel real not great.
Yeah, and also this sort of dovetails with another horrible thing that just happened. Daphne.
Oh my God. Yeah.
She was like one of my favorites, honestly, of the end days of WCW. She was just like a wonderful, interesting personality and whatnot. And yeah, that she ended up committing suicide. Like, basically the industry chewed her up and spit her out. And I don't want that for any wrestler. I want all of them to be healthy. And if the choice comes down to like seeing one more amazing, or even fucking 10 years of amazing matches from a wrestler that ends in, you know, their untimely demise, versus like a guy who retires early and gets to live a happy existence and dies in his mid 70s, you know, just in his sleep, I will take that. I will take that easy death every single time, because they're people and I want people to be happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think in this case, like, and you know, you certainly hope, although in wrestling and in generally combat sports, it's by no means a given that were it deemed unwise to have the match with Cash Wheeler, that he would not have been permitted to, because you know he's going to want to, but provided, and I was like, I hope it can't get worse. But like I'm also thinking about, like, you know, that's its own set of consequences if he never got to have a farewell to the ring. Like, I would want that for him too, at the same time that there are risks with that. And I sure hope he can be, I mean, I think he'll be okay as a person living on this earth. I hope he's okay enough that he could return, but I don't know what the prognosis is after a month and he's not getting the progress he needs.
Well, I mean, this is also, it's like, it's not like head trauma or anything. It's his arm and
it's nerve damage.
Yeah. And like, he's, you know,
it's just longer to heal from, if you can heal from it. It's just going to take longer.
I mean, like, it's not head damage, but if somebody was like, I can never again wipe my own ass, I'd be like, that sucks.
Yeah. That's yeah.
But, you know, that's also not the worst thing.
No.
Not to wipe your ass.
It gets you.
We can get those little tushy things.
The little,
oh, yeah, you do get to do that.
My cousin has a Japanese toilet. He actually lived in Japan for a while. He's in the military. And he bought one of those expensive-ass Japanese toilets. And
a talking toilet?
Well, I don't think it talks to him, but he was describing it to my mother because my mom's intrigued. And basically sold it to us like, I would buy one in a heartbeat. He's like, here's what I do. He's like, it knows me when I walk in. So when I walk into my bathroom, the lid comes up.
No,
I sit
creepy.
Down.
No.
And then when I'm done, it sprays water on me. And then then a vent of warm air. He's like, the seat is never cold. The water isn't even cold. He's like, there's adjustments for all that stuff. You can adjust the time for how long you want the water spray, for how long you want the air vent. He's like, you're totally clean and dry. And then I just get up and leave. And it does everything. It does absolutely everything. He's like, my hands need to do nothing except for pull up my pants.
Wow. I had no idea that I would have this kind of deep, visceral reaction. But I feel like it would be the same thing if I had hired a human being
Why?
To, like, turn on the water and, like, wipe my butt and then, like, you know, like, send me on my way without ever touching anything. It just feels weird to be that taken care of. And that's obviously, I need to talk to my therapist about that.
Yeah.
Be that as it may, still weirds me out.
Look, at some point in your life, that's, you will be paying someone to do that. That's just our futures, guys.
I mean, bring our realness. Why?
Oldness. I mean,
you hope that your child is going to be stuck with the bill.
What child, Mushu? Are you kidding me? Anyways,
Egon's going to have to pay for three different people to age into decrepitude, Chan.
Yeah, he is.
I do have a question. Oh, a couple things. So at the top of this match, the announce team noted that State Farm was their insurance company and all this. And I was like, funny, because Cash Wheeler is probably very well acquainted with how much State Farm covers for him. But he was also wearing a shirt that said Grand Slam GTTOAT. Do you know what that means?
I thought about that too. And I was like, you know what? I'm sure that there's a reference there for smarter internet marks than I am. So I'm.
Is it get to the OAT?
Go. Yeah, it's a sequel to Get Him to the Greek. Russell Brand is back in all his glory.
No. Greatest tag team of all time.
Okay, there we go. Grand Slam, greatest tag team of all time. Okay, yeah. Because it does sound like goat kind of thing, but I'm like, but the TTs, I don't know what those are. Okay. But Santana Ortiz won. It was a long, hard match. Great back and forth. It was really, really good.
Santana and Ortiz in their face paint looking great.
Yeah. The whole thing was great. I gave it a thumbs up.
Oh, yeah.
I thought the ending was a little anticlimactic, but that's not a big deal. The one note that I did have was JR saying full of P and V, which I understand means full of piss and vinegar.
Sounds like penis and vagina.
Yes, it does. Mm-hmm. And that was the first of many JR-isms this week that made me go, what? Hold, JR, stop.
Yeah.
I guess I must be the only person sex positive enough to want to see something or someone full of penis and vagina.
No, he's talking about the ring. So, or was it the wrestlers? Maybe it was the wrestlers themselves. They must have been. He must have been talking about the wrestlers.
Yeah, that's what you are talking about when you say piss and vinegar always means like this guy is like irascible.
Unless you're talking about the artistry at Sub Sandwiches at Subway.
Oh, I like oil and vinegar. I know that.
Yeah, but Subway, they add a little piss.
Oh, man.
I would not doubt that. Sidebar, I had one of the greatest sandwiches of my life here at City Club in Park Slope. So in case you're here.
Do me a fucking favor. If you go into the Manhattan area, go to, you know, near the Macy's on 34th Street, right?
I don't know.
Where Santa Claus is.
Okay, so you know how they are on the grid system?
Mm-hmm.
You can find 34th Street pretty easily if from wherever you are in Manhattan. But find 34th Street and basically a block. God, now I can't remember if it's...
I'm going to Google it.
Look, the directions are... Yeah, it's okay.
A block away from it is a Potbelly's Sandwiches. Mm. And Potbelly's is from Chicago, and it's one of my favorite all-time sandwich places on the fucking planet. So eat there.
When it's in New York, go to Chicago's favorite sandwich shop.
I was like, this is a Chicago shop. And they were like, huh? Because I was working on the boats, so then or ships, whatever. I found a Potbelly's. I was all excited. And I was like, oh, these are from Chicago. And they're like, huh, what? And I was thinking to myself, yeah, not everything originates in New York. Jeez. But
And Teresa's favorite pizza place in New York is Sbarro's, just like Michael Scott.
Although, no, you know that place in Hollywood? I saw it in New York, too.
Oh, no.
There's the Two Boots that used to be in Echo Park. I ran into that. The other Two Boots in New York, but then also the one out here now. God, what the fuck is the name of it? Nick's? What's the one on Hollywood near IO?
The good one or the bad one?
The good one.
It's something like that. Yeah. Because the,
sorry,
I don't know why
this is so unimportant to everyone.
I don't know why I asked you to clarify because I can't name either of them.
Joe's.
So makes no difference.
It was Joe's.
Oh, yeah. That place is not bad.
Yeah. I saw the one in New York too. So that was cool. Okay. This is, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm wasting so
okay,
much
look,
of everyone's
the point,
time.
The point is,
why does anyone listen to us?
Good match, like a nice opener because it's like they shot a pretty big shot to open and they often do that. And also maybe they were like, people are going to be worried about Cash Wheeler all the way until they see him enter the ring and leave the ring. So maybe we should just ease their minds that it's going to be all right by showing them.
Yeah.
And also like, I don't know what the psychology is in this exact situation because I get that ordinarily, when someone is going out, they would put over the person who's sticking around because that's good business. But in my mind, somehow, because FTR lost, it told me, you know, maybe they do have some hopes that there'll be a return where they get the win, where they get the win back. So I don't know.
It's not a career ending injury.
Oh. I mean, I don't know what it is. I mean, like every time I think about the pictures I saw, who knows? I hope it's not. I hope it's not.
There's a Daniel Garcia promo with 2.0. I do really like these new guys. There's something about the way they talk and the way they deliver their lines. It's something very old 80s WWF seeming to me. And maybe it's just the way they point their fingers. I don't know. But I was also thinking, as much as I like it, and I'm not that into Daniel Garcia, I gave it a thumbs up because of the other guys. But now I feel like I've wasted so much time on other things. Like,
oh,
I can't
God.
Talk about what I want to talk about, which is like, how these guys are given a shot, they're brought in to Dynamite like almost right away. There are women without valets, there are women without any airtime at all. And it's just really upsetting to me because, like, yeah, the more you see them, the more you're going to get into people, right? Yeah. Britt Baker, during her entire injury, was on. You saw her every week on Dynamite. She was there every week next to the announce desk. So if anyone were to do that, they also would get over in a way, or at least get more known and all this. Like, why they don't do that, I don't get it. There's so many matches that could be on Dark because we shouldn't see them on Dynamite, or like it's unnecessary. But then there are a lot of matches that are on Dark that absolutely could be on Dynamite, and it could actually help grow the company, but whatever.
It's a, yeah.
I get that. Because yeah, from what I've been hearing from other people, like, there are a lot of people who are very high on 2.0 and Daniel Garcia. There's a couple of people that are like, I don't quite get it. I'm more in that camp of like, I get that there's a lot of potential there. And by putting these guys into a place where they can, you know, like work with, you know, top dudes, you know, Kingston and Moxley and, you know, all that kind of thing, they will get better. And, you know, like if you place faith in them, they will become, you know, stars. And you need to make new stars always to, you know, continue
right.
the company. At the same time, you're exactly right that
you got to make female stars too. Yeah,
exactly. Why not be making, putting, women into that slot as well? So, yeah, I see both sides of it. I tend towards the side of, let's see. I mean, I don't tend towards that side. I'm very much on the side of let's see more women instead of just, you know, other guys who are, you know, got a lot of potential and are really young. So great upside, but like, yeah, so do a lot of fucking women. So
and to me, like I do like 2.0, but it also is like a third bag of cookies that you opened after you opened like Top Flight and after you opened the Acclaimed and you know like you want the diversity and why repeatedly start the push of somebody where they're really cannibalizing somebody else's push, kind of.
I will say that there's one thing about this is that they are essentially jobbers at this point. They've got great energy, and that's what you want from people who are going to be losing, is you still want them to be entertaining. You don't want, you know, your Iron Mike Sharps where you see them come out and you go like, oh, well, you're just going to lose and I don't give a shit. Cause they're being set up so that, they can take the dive so that, you know, like, Darby and Punk can sort of like, stretch things out before the actual match, that kind of thing. Cause you know, like they're running in and doing stuff like that. So it sort of makes sense. And hopefully we will see them sort of deprecated to one of the other shows and, you know, keep working there. But we'll see.
So did you guys thumb this up?
It was up for me. You up and middled it.
I did, because like, honestly, like, yeah, they have all of the stuff, and it's just not quite together yet. Like, I like their energy, but it was like, hey, we're going to beat you up. Okay, great.
Next, we have a CM Punk promo. This was interesting because, you know, 2.0 and Garcia came out to jump CM Punk, and then Darby and Sting came out to help them, and then they all kind of did their thing, and Punk got to do his GTS move, and you know, there's this lot of heat between Punk and Allen. And then Sting gets on the mic. So it was a lot of like fun, interesting things. So it wasn't just like CM Punk coming out to talk again, which I was very appreciative of. And I gave it a thumbs up.
Yeah, they definitely did what they needed to do, which is to progress what CM Punk is doing so that it wasn't the same thing. And it for sure was not. Good for them for that. And I appreciate Sting's multilingual promo cutting, because he has mucho respect for CM Punk.
I know. Every time he talks, it's so funny. He's such a like 80s surfer dude.
Well, I like the genuine level of this whole thing, because like we're hearing about what CM Punk wants out of who he's going to be around, and we're hearing what Darby Allin wants, and we're hearing what Sting wants. Like, each one of them is like, this is, you know, like something I dreamed of, essentially. Like, this is a fulfilling experience for me. Like, Sting wanted to be around, like, wrestling with someone like Punk. I love all of that of it.
Yeah.
Go ahead. It was pretty perfunctory. Like, there was a lot of exposition, you know, like, this is why I want to do this. This is why I want to do this. And like, yeah, I'm okay with everybody in the ring, but it felt, I middled it because it was one of those things that it was just like, here was information that we need to progress. And I didn't feel particularly excited about it, but also I wasn't like mad at it. So,
okay.
Although I am mad that JR had a story about someone he knew who used to sing about her cat, and she would sing "The Cat with Personality" to Cult of Personality, and I was like, what the fuck is wrong with you, JR?
Oh my god, he's look, talking about someone I must be related to.
Look, that is, you know, like, we should be cherishing the experiences we get to have with our elders, because that memory is going to be gone. And
Now I understand why people shit on Mauro Ranallo. I fucking love him. And whenever he says weird stuff, I'm like, God damn it, Mauro, I love you. But I get how people would feel exactly the way I feel about JR now about Mauro. So, like, yeah, it's different strokes.
We have a promo for Omega. Basically, it's, you know, all this great stuff about Omega. People are talking about him. And then they're talking about Christian Cage just as far as an opponent. And they're saying, one thing that stuck out to me was they said Christian Cage had charisma. And I'm like, what? No, he doesn't, in my opinion. Especially when you're comparing him to Kenny Omega. I don't know. I middled it. I just, it was fine.
I thumbs it up because I really like that that sort of sportsy vibe of like, here are commentators, analysts who are breaking things down, and you know, it's done in a way that makes you feel like a genuine, you know, athletic competition kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And they do that later. I forget which match they cover, but like, I really enjoyed that thing about it. So yeah.
Yeah, that was what I liked about it, too. It's this nice, like, quick thing. There's a speed to a lot of these kinds of segments where, elsewhere it feels like it can be kind of drawn out, and here it's like chop, 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 chop. And you're like, oh yeah, yeah, I think I got it.
Next we have a Shivani MJF interview. You know, it's an MJF interview. It's decent. He's basically talking the whole time, but he's talking about Jericho. And this is what I noted from what he said. I have your shoes to fill, and that's no easy feat. I thought that was funny.
I get it.
I like that it started with Shivani calling him the most disgusting, despicable person I've ever met in my life. And just the way MJF like comes back with like, oh, what an intro, Tony. You're such a professional.
Yeah. Yeah.
Completely over the top, but also just like this shred of like grounded reality. Like, really? You're a journalist and this is how you're introduced?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was a little much for me because I like that you have a perspective, but yeah, I like it if it's like, yeah, it's in your face, it's in your voice a little bit. It's not where you say, I hate you. Like your body says, I hate you. Your vocal tone does. That was too much, a little too much for me.
That was the thing I liked about this, though, is that basically MJF talked the entire time, mm-hmm. and Shivani had to sit there, and he actually did a real good job of just sort of conveying that, like, I'm real uncomfortable here. This is, why am I even here? This is, oh, God, he's going on about, oh, geez, why am I? And so, like, as this whole thing is happening, you just have this, like, sort of, like, background, like, texture going on that I thought was really nice.
Yeah, sure. No, well, that's true. For the most part, it was like that. To start, it was certainly too much. But then, yeah, like it was a little bit like that assistant MJF had a while back, where you could watch a whole drama playing out on her strained smile.
Oh yeah,
pretty. So that was I like this one. I really did.
I did too. And also, the one thing I didn't like was that there were two cameras and he kept looking at each of them in a way that didn't feel natural. Like, it works in some contexts, you know, like a Daily Show or something like that, where you're like sitting at a desk. But when you're doing an interview and then, you know, like you have that camera too to like have a different angle, but to like focus and then refocus on each one felt too, that was the only thing that took me out of it.
That's fair.
I gave it a thumbs up.
Same.
Yeah, yeah.
Then we've got Orange Cassidy, who came out with Statlander, Yuta, and Taylor versus Jack Evans. Matt Hardy comes out and attacks Orange, but the ref throws him out, so Matt has to leave. Evans is really good. I do like watching him. And Cassidy is always fascinating for similar reasons, so this is a really great matchup. But I can't believe they did this. Almost the whole match is in picture-in-picture. And then, like, the final moments of the match are picture-in-picture where Cassidy wins. And what the fuck? Why would they do that?
I respected that.
I've been expecting it for a while because I'm like, well, at some point, they actually have to have a match finished during a commercial break so that then people are like, oh, I have to watch these. I can't just like drift away from them. Mm-hmm. But when they did it, I was like, oh, this feels real bad.
Yeah.
I didn't actually want to do that. So like,
it sucks.
I guess they have to do it every once in a while, but I don't care for it. I agree.
They did draw it out a little bit because then they had Evans contesting it. So you come back to the break and like Evans is contesting it and Hardy runs out, beats up Orange. But Taylor and Yuta come out, but then the entire HFO come out and they basically make everybody else leave. So it's just Orange Cassidy and the entirety of HFO. But of course, the saviors of the day, Jungle Express, run out. So, yeah.
Oh my God. How
the
dare you?
The whole thing was
Jurassic Express.
Oops. Why do I say Jungle Express? That's weird. Like,
the disrespect.
Jungle Boy Express.
The Jungle Boy Express.
The Jungle Boy train. But I mean, I'm really torn as to how to thumb this because, like, I was not happy with the fact that the entire thing was in PNP. But I thought it was a decent match. So,
PNV.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Right now. PNV. PNV.
PNV.
Yeah. The whole finish was in penis and vagina. Yeah. Piss and vinegar.
Or vinegars. Anyways, whatever. I'm not going to continue that sentence.
I was excited for what that was going to be.
I thumbs it up.
Yeah, I did too.
Yeah, me too. The match was good. I respected them wanting to make the me attentive to the PNP because I rarely am. But like something else that that bothers me a little bit is just like always the logic of these people run into the ring at this point, for no reason. 15 seconds later, that always kind of bugs me a little bit, but you know, not a huge deal.
Yeah, there's a lot of that happening right now, and I'm wondering if it really is truly just because we're leading up to a pay per view, so they're trying to generate some sort of excitement and feud shit going on that everyone's going to lay it all out on the table.
I guess what I'm
like who's mad at who so that you know a bunch of stuff going on at the same time.
That part is fine. I'm just about the logic of like the timing of the run-ins. So like if someone is coming out later, I would want to have somehow, this is silly, but I would love it if we had seen why they were taking longer. Like they were, you know, messing with a Japanese toilet or something like that.
Maybe they didn't know what was going on and they, you know, maybe it takes that long to get from the back.
They're at catering, getting their boiled chicken breasts. They suddenly realize that, oh, I am needed. And then they have to drop everything or ideally put like another plate over your plate so that kind of stays warm at least a little bit. And then you go to the ring.
Or if all the wrestlers are wearing GoPros and you can just see from their perspective all the time.
Well, what it should be is like on Aliens, where there is a bank of monitors that show what every wrestler sees and their life signs.
Yeah. He's right behind us.
Ooh, man, if they had life bars for everybody, too, so that we could see like during a match.
Oh, man, that'd be cool.
They do have ice cream bars sometimes.
That's true. Then there's an Eddie promo basically responding to Miro. Eddie's going after the belt because then Miro won't be God's favorite. And then Miro does a little, you know, talk back to him on that one as well. I like how they do that lately. These little call and response things, back to back. I liked it. Thumbs up.
It's a nicer aesthetic than, you know, just two guys mad at each other, yelling at each other in the same room, which can get really cheesy. Or even worse, they've done a couple times on Rampage with Big Show. No, Mark Henry doing like a Zoom interview.
Oh,
almost,
my God.
Like,
yeah.
In one screen and in another screen. Like, ugh, I do not care for that.
Yeah, I don't either.
Yeah, this was okay.
As soon as Eddie said, your neck is your chink, I felt weird about it. And you know what? I feel like I'm allowed to, but it's all Eddie. So
it's chink in the armor, but I understand what you're saying.
You know what? Even you saying it like that just feels a little weird. But look, if any non-Asian says chink in any context, I'm going to feel just a little bit weird.
I think it's a visceral reaction. Like, I think I'm less likely to use it like than I would have been at one time. So yeah, fair.
But I also kind of love that, like, the only reason Eddie is doing this is just to be a prick. Like, I'm gonna take this belt from you because it's the only thing that you like. That's it. I don't want to be a champion. I just want you to be unhappy.
But he's going to leave him his flexible wife.
I mean, there is that. Flexible wife has now reached her 90-day window. So,
I like the idea that that Miro has qualified immunity as God's favorite champion, and the moment he loses the belt, he's prosecutable for all his holy crimes.
That's funny. Did we all thumbs this up?
Yeah,
I think so. Yeah.
So then we got a Mox promo. Basically, it's a good promo, but it's just similar to what he did. What?
Nothing new in it. It was just old promo.
They recapped with video, which I really liked.
Yeah, it was okay. But, like, I didn't even consider it a segment because it was a little something new.
I thought it was cool because, like, people, you know, I'm not familiar with Satoshi Kojima. So it was cool that the video then recapped this guy and you got to see him do different things and whatever. So, you know, it's smart how they do that. And that is really important when you're doing cross promotions like that. That they, you know, help the audience get familiar. Okay. So we've got JR with Jericho in the ring. And I was just thinking, God, this whole thing looks like an actual retirement. The way they were talking. Oy, oy, oy. JR and Jericho be like, hey, I wouldn't be here at all if JR hadn't invited me to blah, blah, blah. A million years ago. But anyways, he just says, MJF, you are a piece of shit. And I thought that was great. It's very simple, to the point. At a certain point, I thought he was getting all choked up when he was thanking the audience, you know, for the life he's had and for being part of his life. I thought that was cute. I thought the whole thing was nice. I'd give it a thumbs up.
I middled it just because I continue to feel bad about it, but, like, I'm just not interested. And I love Jericho in the same way that I love Christian. They're both have an amazing career and have done so many things that I loved. At this point now, though, like, you're there. Sting is doing a real good job of being there and still being supportive in a real background way that makes me go, like, okay, you can stick around for a while. But Jericho and Christian both kind of, like, I'm just like, you're taking up so much time that is, you know, and I'm not getting anything out of it. I middled it just because, like, I get it. This is, you know, it's leading up to the match. And so, like, do what you're going to do. But it's not for me.
It was okay. I middled it too. It just, you know, it feels kind of non-essential unless I was really super convinced that this was it. If it turns out to be, then maybe I'll retroactively change thumbs. I want to hear more about the Bombay Bicycle Club, though. it's Mumbai now. We all need to catch up to that.
Yeah.
Why did Bombay get the works?
Why did what?
Nobody's business but the Turks.
I would have said the Indians, but. To each their own.
All right. So then we've got a promo with Darby Allin. This was really funny because it was like, you know, a close up black and white video, and they had this like real normal sounding, but I don't know how to describe guitar. Basically, it just sounded like an old Apple commercial. The whole thing, or like an old insurance commercial or something. I thought it was a neat promo, but like, I liked what he was saying. Cause basically he's saying like, yeah, you were my favorite when I was 15. So yeah, let's do this. but I gave it a thumbs up.
I middled it. Mm-hmm. I do really like the aesthetic, but I also feel like I've already heard the same thing. So I think it's real smart of him to use this to sort of like cover over the fact that he's not a real great promo. But like at the end of the day, like again, it's like, okay, yeah, this is fine. This is doing what it needs to, but like the,
I upped it. I like the genuine quality. I think like, yeah, when somebody is not as amazing as others at cutting a promo, well, you know, nobody can be better than you at being you and saying what you, I guess that sounds like you're just talking about cutting a promo. But like, because, you know, because he's articulating this, like these, what to me seem like very real feelings. I definitely enjoyed it. Yeah, so it was good.
The next match is Powerhouse Hobbs versus Brian Cage. I love Powerhouse Hobbs' music.
Yeah.
I fucking love his entrance music. Now, this was an amazing match. These two guys, holy shit.
Before we even get to that, can we talk about Hook's leather pants? Can we please talk about, come on now.
You can talk about it.
I mean, you mean his leather pants full of P&V?
Yes.
Pocket peas.
I feel like some disquiet over the implication that there's something like masculine and sexual inside of Hook's shirt.
So anyways, are you guys done? Is that all you wanted to say? about his pants? Okay.
I understand that you have like some smoldering desires there that you're just in the way of any good rom-com. You just are willing to face the fact that you are super into Hook. I'm just giving you the opportunity to feel these out.
It's a romance novel where Teresa is the new governess and Hook is the brooding gothic patriarch.
Oh, Hook. No, I thought he was the kid that she was tutoring.
The word Hook just Hook makes me think of this terrible story.
Oh no.
And he has nothing to do with it, but for some reason it does come to mind when I hear his name. Because also like maybe somehow I think like, oh, that's the type of person that might do this terrible thing. But I don't know. That's a total.
Who would kidnap children and take them to Never Never Land. And mm-hmm,
I mean, no, but there's a different story. That's a real story that I'm not going to get into, but
I hear the signs. I recognize the cues that like, these are topics to be discussed on a wrestling show.
I'm going to go ahead and plunge heedlessly ahead with a question.
Powerhouse Hobbs and...
So this was a great freaking match, okay? Yeah. Hobbs flying at Cage is insane. Sure. Some of these sub moves look like they can actually break Cage's skull like an egg.
Yeah.
Hobbs, he like these hits to the like chest and throat, like they look like they're clotheslining Cage. Like this back and forth swats. The whole thing was insane. And great. It was like I wanted to see this for so long. You know, Cage is throwing Hobbs into the barricade. And the mass of this human, the way that he moves that barricade more than other people that get thrown into it, it's so like clear and obvious that this is like, you know, whatever. You know what I mean? But anyway, Hook at one point distracts the ref. And then Starks was waiting. He was hiding, and he gives Hobbs the belt to hit Cage with, and then Hobbs wins. And I was really excited about that because I wanted Hobbs to win. And then Starks did this little dance to Hobbs' music. I loved it. I gave this whole thing a thumbs up. It was fantastic.
Oh, yeah, it was great. It's a little scary to watch two bulks like Cage and Hobbs get in the ring, because it seems like one of those moments where the ring will collapse the way it happens every now and then. But a great match, some great spa bumps, and Starks is perfection.
I always forget, because I like seeing people do flippy jumpy stuff. I always forget the allure of two slabs of meat just like smacking into each other and just like feeling the rumble and going like, oh my God, this is like two titans colliding.
Yeah.
Also, I fucking love Taz when he just gets loose on the announce booth, because there was like something where Shivani was like, oh, Britt's got a big thing that she wants to talk about later. And Taz is like, oh, why don't you go now? And I would swear that he just like giggles, like he can't stop himself. He just giggles and then goes, excuse me. Like, he's so taken with his character of just being, you know, like just like a little shit that when he just does it, he just like giggles out of glee. That character when he just gets caught up in the match and, you know, looks like Hobbs about to lose and he's like, no, Hobbs, like,
yeah, Hobbs. Like,
convey so much in such a very specific character.
Help me, Obi-Wan.
like being able to see the difference between Taz and Jericho, both with their characters, in, you know, the announce format, how they do it so differently, but both do so much to both engage you and entertain you at the same time. Like, it's just, I mean, it's a masterwork and I love it so much.
It is a treat.
Okay, so then there was a promo for Malakai Black. I gave the promo a thumbs up. It was really good. This is what I would imagine he always wanted to do when he was, you know, Alistair. Mm-hmm. But like, they either didn't let him, or I don't know, they wouldn't tape it beforehand, or I don't really know why. They only had him in a black room with nothing before. This is so much better. It's shot so much better. His delivery is so much better. What he has to say is more interesting.
Yeah.
I just love him better in this element. I'm not excited to see him wrestle Shoddy, but whatever. I'm excited to see him wrestle in general, I guess.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I gave the promo a thumbs up.
I do too. I think it's really, yeah, you can see in his WWE work what he wanted to do before they're like, yeah, okay, but she dialed this back and like say these words and,
yeah,
you know, like, so some of it came through. But like here, even though, again, yeah, like you say, it's just real simple. It's like, yeah, I'm going to beat you. But he has his sort of like low energy, like you feel the threat without yelling,
and he's holding a death tarot card, you know, talking about how, you know, I'm gonna fucking kill you kind of a thing.
Love it.
Yeah, it's he has a nice quiet menace. He's talking about sending Lee Johnson to Hades.
Yes, put coins on your eyes so that when you get to Hades you can pay the toll,
because you got to pay the troll toll.
It's actually a boatman's toll, but I'm sure there's trolls there too. My favorite, though, with any reference to Hades is on The Simpsons when they – it's Homer's Odyssey and like they're like he's like, I have to get home. And there's like, oh, you have to go to Hades. But it's not so simple. You have to go to Hades crossing the river Styx. And then he's on this boat.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And all the skeletons are like rocking out to Styx. Oh, God damn it. I wish I could insert a video into a podcast. You know what I mean?
Cannot do it. Can't do it. Technology is not there. The only thing that I'm missing is Black's enunciation of pick a fight. You know, other than that, he's doing great work.
I don't miss it.
What? That was the best part of him back then.
I like how he enunciates other things now.
Oh, I get you.
Wow. So QT is then in the ring with the factory, and Paul White comes out in the ring. I liked this image. They go in on Paul, and he throws them all off. Like, they all pile onto him, right? This is what I loved. They pile onto him, and then he just sort of roar, like, with his arms up, and they all just sort of fly back. I love that dumb image. You know, yeah, it's so great.
Classic Royal Rumble spot.
Yeah.
Or it's this real, like, Hercules moment is what it feels like to me.
His choke slams are always fun. He swatted Solo out of the air. Then the Gun Club come out. Everybody runs away, but then Billy hit, they have a chair with them. But then Billy Gunn hits Paul in like the hip or something, the lower back and the hip with the chair.
Yeah, where he has surgery, and they've mentioned multiple times that he had to rebuild it. And so,
They made it stronger because they had the technology.
And then the factory hurts Paul more, and the crowd saying, asshole. This is a perfect example of something that this could be on Dark. You know what I mean? We don't need it on Dynamite, but all right, we'll see what happens. I middled it
because I understand it needs to be there. I don't like, I don't care about anything having to do with the factory, really.
Me neither.
Anything to do with the factory. The individuals in the factory, I'm still excited about.
Yes.
The Gun Club, less so, but, you know, that's fine. I don't even know or care why they turned. It was weird that all of a sudden Excalibur started calling him Austin and Colton, like, the scumbag sons, because they were, like, they were, as far as I knew, they were faces last week, and they were nice guys. And then they didn't really do anything here. I think they like jumped on him, jumped on Paul White after or something like that.
Maybe,
like,
something happened on Dark that we missed.
Could be.
But it sounded kind of like, right, they're now heels, so we must now call them scumbags, even though they haven't really done too much. They turned on a guy, but like, they haven't done anything particularly scummy besides that. So, like,
I mean, that is... And that warrants being called a scumbag. So even if this was all they did, it's okay.
I guess. Maybe I just have higher standards for scumbags.
Maybe.
That's your cross to bear, I guess.
Yeah. Just going to put up with a lot of shitty stuff before you call someone a scumbag, I guess.
Ask that word about willy-nilly. What did you say, Calder?
It's also a middle for me, although I was somewhat more excited to see the Gun Club do a heel turn, because I was like, it feels like we really wanted, or at least were observing, that there was not like a real character thing to the Gun Club,
right.
and here is one. So I'm like, oh shit, they might do something the next time I see them that like I have a feeling about. So I did like that.
That's true. If they manage to come up with different, you know, characters and stuff for themselves, maybe it'll turn into something cool. And here's another thing, right? If you're not exposed to the largest of audience, right, like on Dynamite, you might never know whether or not your gimmick is really working. So for all the people that are like, well, the women characters, they don't really have good gimmicks or good characters, they're just boring, this, that, the other, so that's why nobody likes it. It's like, well, maybe they haven't had a chance to really know whether or not people dig it. You know, they're not on enough, they're not exposed enough, they're not even given valets to see if maybe that's just the sticky wicket. It's just the, you know, give them a storyline, a good storyline, or help them with their character, help them change their character, whatever, you know, whatever it is that is or isn't working. Like, there's enough experience and great creative minds over at AEW right now that it's kind of inexcusable to leave people hanging. You know what I mean? And that's for the men's division too, but the men tend to get all of what, again, it just is how it is perceived as a fan. I don't know what's going on backstage, but it just, it, the way that it looks from where I am seated is they really focus only on their men's division.
Yeah, it does feel like that. And something that was bugging me this past week was, as you can imagine, people are jawing at QT about like, we don't want you. Why are you on TV? And I understand why your reaction to that is, well, I am, so tough shit. And I'm like, well, I get it. Your feelings are hurt, but you know, you're getting information from them that you should be heeding.
Yeah. You know, like, yeah, exactly.
Like, you know, like
it's all useful, right?
You should be like, go ahead.
It's hard because there's this thing called X-Pac heat, which is like a heel needs heat. He needs people to hate him. But there's a kind of heat that you know, the fans do not want to see you, which is different from they want to see you get your comeuppance and to get beat.
Yeah.
And the thing is, it's real hard to tell. A lot of people who think they know what they want or, you know, think they know what the business is, don't realize that those people are still, you know, putting butts in seats.
Yeah.
And I don't know the answer to that because I don't like QT Marshall, this whole thing. I don't want to see him, but also he is generating an emotional response in me. So I don't want to be too down on him because obviously it's working, you know, and if a heel is getting any kind of reaction, you know, they're doing something right enough to replace like a segment with Sheeta and Thunder Rosa? Absolutely not.
No, yeah. But,
no.
Yeah, I try to hold back my second guessing of like, but maybe they could do this and do that. And so like, yeah, it's still there and it's not going anywhere. And I really wish it would.
Then there's Shivani and Britt. This was very forgettable. Britt basically is just saying she's going to be with AEW for a while. And it's like, no one thought otherwise. Why is this a thing? This is the most annoying thing.
Well, when they announce
any kind of fucking airtime, they, you know, ugh.
This was the kind of thing that I'm saying, like they were saying like, she has some information about a signing, you know, signing. And of course, everybody who knows anything is like, oh yeah, what if it's going to be Ruby Soho? What if it's going to be, you know, somebody else, like any of a number of really cool signings that could be in the women's division. And when she goes like, it's me, I resigned. I felt like, God damn it. They fucking got me.
Yeah.
I respect that, even if I don't like it.
I mean, I didn't think it was going to be anyone other than Jamie, maybe, that she was announcing. Because I just assumed that kind of announcement would either be a surprise or it would come from somebody else.
Right.
But that's just me. Basically, Reba and Jamie are going to be the Casino Royal match. That's the only other information she gave us. Anyway, yeah, it's just annoying because, you know, this is another spot she gets that the other champs were denied. I'm bitter. I'm real bitter.
Feeling it.
You know.
Did you middle this or down it?
I middled it.
This was the worst piece of shit I could. I would sell my own mother if because I could.
I can't like knock her talk. You know what I mean? Like sometimes I don't like her talk, but like sometimes I really hate her talk. Like when she calls herself the face of the women's division, because I take issue with that because she's only the face because she's the only face we're allowed to see consistently. You know what I mean? Like that doesn't count. you can be the face because you fight your way to the top, or you're the face because no other woman is ever seen. You know, like, I don't get it. Maybe that's all that means, is that you're the only face allowed to be seen on TV. But other than that, you know, she can, you know, talk well, so whatever. It's a middle.
Yeah, gotcha.
No, it was okay. I middled it also. I appreciated in this case talk, you know, compared to the QT thing. I was like, I understand what I'm feeling and what they did and all. Like, I was irritated, but I was like, yeah, that was meant to be irritating. That was the whole point. Some nice news, or at least I thought it was nice, is that so we were hearing about some Casino Royale entrance, and I gather that that match was going to be in the buy-in, but now it's on the main card, and I think it's replacing the Pac match that's now not happening.
Right, the Andrade and Pac match because of some travel issues, I guess.
Well, Pac keeps being in England and struggling to get here, I guess.
Yeah, well, America and England keep being like, you're too infected.
You're too infected. Well, I'm not going to let you bring your people over. Well, I'm not going to let you bring your people over.
Yeah.
Look, like, everyone only ends up suffering when Pac is not allowed to travel freely.
This is true.
That's very true. So the next match is between Penelope Ford and Ty Conti. Holy shit. This was such a great fucking match. I can't stress this enough. I don't know. You know, I have not slept on Penelope Ford. I think a lot of people have. I have not. Ty Conti is also really great. And she keeps getting better. I really loved it. I loved all of it. I don't know. This was so great. And Ty did win. And then Penelope and Bunny, like, beat her up because Bunny came out with Penelope. But then Anna Jay came out. And so she came tail tight. So Anna Jay's back. And I was like, this would be a great storyline. These two tag teams, could this be how we start to build the women's division back up? I would love to see it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's definitely here are some storylines and that are evolving, and yes, more of that, please.
They're finally focusing on, hey, let's do what makes sense. These characters make sense together. This would make sense as a tag team and a new sort of direction we could go in. I gave it a thumbs up.
Yeah, me too. Go ahead.
I always liked Ty Conti back in NXT because, yeah, she has this judo background and she was doing some different things, like in the same way as Ronda Rousey had a really different style. I was like, oh, wow, this is interesting. And watching them sort of like bring it into professional wrestling, I feel like Ty Conti is busting out a lot of really new, interesting things that aren't quite smooth yet. And I feel like, obviously, she's still new. She's only been doing this for a few years. Like, she's going to become someone like who is going to continue to be distinct and have her own style. And that is a huge thing that I really do want to see more of in the women's division. It's like, yeah, like people who just are their own thing. And she's not quite there yet, but she's doing all sorts of stuff that I don't see anywhere else. So I'm already on board.
Yeah. Good times. It was very fun. And you know, like speaking of Ty, being young, we in fact learned that she's still getting her baby teeth. Good luck with the teething pain.
What are you talking about?
On commentary, they said about her being young that she was still getting her baby teeth.
What? That's weird. I didn't hear that. What a weird comment.
Yeah, that would be in keeping with.
Was that JR?
I forget who said it, but I put it down because it seemed notable.
Yeah, that's notable. All right. So then we have backstage. We're backstage. We've got Thunder Rosa. And then Jade and Nyla attack Thunder Rosa. And Rosa's trying to beat everybody's ass. But, of course, it's two against one. And I was so great about this moment, too, is Thunder Rosa is such a great talker. And these two women, other women, are not. And they were with their valets. And it was like Thunder Rosa's like talking through it, right? Like, well, if I'm going to go down, I'm going to go down fighting. You know, like all this. And these women aren't really saying anything. And I just thought it was funny. And then, I don't know. I loved the segment. As kind of silly as it was, I liked it. And it's leading us up, of course, to Sunday, the pay-per-view. So I gave it a thumbs up.
Yeah.
I middled it because basically, yeah, Mark Sterling and Vicky Guerrero are good talkers. But when this whole thing went down and it happened, like, it felt really kind of jumbled and like, you know, they're kind of stumbling over each other's lines and it felt kind of rehearsed in not a great way. So like I was for all of the things that happened, but by the end of it, it just felt like, well, we're just setting up more stuff for the pay-per-view. So whatever.
Yeah.
I upped it mostly on the strength of Rosa, yeah, right off the bat. Like her and her mugging were so hilarious that I was really in.
For sure. That basically is why I gave it a thumbs up too. So the match of the night is an 8-man tag.
It is another.
The Jericho.
Which is similar to that earlier one where it's like all of the announcers going like, yeah, well, you know, he has these, you know.
It ends with Paul being like, I'm worried. basically, he's worried for Jericho. And I like that.
Yeah, I like it
too. It seems sincere.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm a fan of this.
Yeah, I think it shows men everywhere that if they think one of their friends might die, that they can be vulnerable and express it.
Yeah, it's all right. Okay, so now we're going into the match of the night. Jurassic Express with the Lucha Brothers versus the Elite. I mean, how could this not be better? This, again, is another I would love to see this match. Dear AEW, I'm your biggest fan. You know what I mean? Who the fuck doesn't want to see this? The most popular wrestlers all against each other. Let's do this. It was insane. Ray is 100% Superman. The shit he can do is unreal. Mm-hmm. And I know I say that all the time, but holy fucking shit, it bears repeating. Penta's mask and outfit was so cool. Actually, both their masks were really cool. I just goddamn love Penta so much. The Elite, I can't say enough positive things about the Elite either. Even though I'm not like the biggest fans of like, I don't know, some of them. Just as a group, they are perfect. Kenny comes out after the Elite win. Kenny has black hair now.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I know. I was kind of bummed about that because I like his like weird highlights. But anyways, whatever. He's got black hair. And then Christian Cage comes out. And then Don, like Kenny's like, hey, Don, you know, basically Don is the keys to the cage, which is up way up above in the rafters. And so basically the Elite get everyone else, subdued. The cage comes down. They handcuff the Lucha Brothers to the cage. Dante Martin and Jungle Express, they're trying to climb the cage to get in there, but they can't. And basically all of the Elite start to beat up Christian. I like this kind of a thing. It's a weird way to end a show. It's like fun, very unexpected. Although when they showed the cage at the very top of the show, they kind of panned up to the ceiling. I was like, I wonder if they're going to do anything with that. And they did.
I wonder if my gun on the mantle is there for a reason. Check off play. I don't think so.
I gave this whole thing a thumbs up.
Like, the bottom line is they need to be a lot more careful with the cage lowering key because apparently the honor system is not working.
No. Yeah, Tony Khan just leaves it on a hook near the door.
Hook had it, and it was easily taken away from him.
I see.
He put it on a hook, and he didn't realize it was that hook.
Oh no. Someone's like, hey, Tony, I put up a bunch of key hooks for you to make things easy. So next time, just put your key in the hook. He's like, okay, key in the hook, key in the hook. Hey, hook, here's my key. Okay, remember a while ago I said that I thought I told you guys something, but I realized I might have just been hanging out with the baby and said it to the baby?
Vaguely.
Okay, well, I remembered what it was, and I kept forgetting to tell you guys, but I'm going to tell you right now.
Okay.
Basically, has there ever been a band called the Fontanelles? Because that would be a great name for a band, whether it's a rockabilly band or like some sort of, you know what I mean?
Soft rock band.
I just think the Fontanelles would be great.
I feel like I've heard that before somehow. It sounds like a Motown girl group to me.
Exactly. It's a very reminiscent of the 60s name, and there are names similar, but I don't know of a Fontanelle band.
Fontanelle.
You're not going to get a picture of a musical group, I guarantee you.
A fontanelle is the space between the bones of the skull in an infant or fetus.
Yes.
Where ossification is not complete and the suture is not fully formed. Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Because your skull has to squish a little bit in order to exit the vagine.
Okay.
Because.
God, there is a music group called the Fontanelles.
Okay.
Are they a punk band?
Post-punk band from the 80s. Oh, my God.
There we go.
Wow.
How funny. All right.
Check them out on Spotify.
I do want to go back real quick and give some respect for Ray and Nick in the ring and then the Bucks and the Luchas in the ring. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a little bit at the beginning there that just got me so excited to see this match coming up, and as they were going and they were getting real fast, that's my jam. I feel like my ideal AEW match is that tag team match with two teams that can really go, and it is just nonstop for like 12 minutes. And the sort of thing that Jim Cornette will dismiss as, you know, just like flippy gymnastics, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that is really enjoyable. And because it's the time of year, I think that this as an Olympic sport would be amazing.
Yeah. Because,
I mean, what is an ice skating competition, but just, you know, a choreographed thing. And so, like, why not have a choreographed thing with a patina of violence over it?
Mm.
I don't know how that actually works, but I...
Well, there's Olympic boxing.
You want to talk about a band name, Patina of Violence.
Patina of Violence, yes.
There's fencing, there's boxing, there's there's other shit that's could be violent.
None of that is scripted, which is the problem.
Oh, right.
But I think that is perfectly acceptable to enjoy that sort of thing. And it is not necessarily old school professional wrestling, but it is a legitimate form of professional wrestling. Also, Kenny Omega now looks like Jim Mitchell, the Sinister Minister, which is a little weird. Be that what it is. This is an 83% show, guys.
Ooh, so,
good. Not great, but good.
Yeah, it was a nice show going into the pay-per-view, which is Sunday.
And, there's Rampage this Friday.
Yeah.
And then Sunday's the big day.
And yeah. if you didn't know out there, of course, you can get the pay-per-view like normal. I think they did some kind of an...
I can't hear you, Calder. What?
I said that you can get the pay-per-view normal style. I think they did some kind of a changeover with Bleacher Report with the app. But also, I think it's in even more theaters than the last one was. So,
cool.
Like you can go to an AMC possibly, I think, in addition to some of the other ones that are out there. And, you know, as we said before, it's a great time. So, if you feel secure about doing it, I guess, it would be entertaining.
Yeah, man, that does sound cool. 'Cause I love popcorn.
Mm.
I mean, I kind of live my life to get to the next bucket of popcorn.
Very, very fair.
Yeah, there's a... I got no problem with that.
At the end of my life, some deity is going to be like, so what did you do with your time on Earth?
Some deity.
I don't know who.
You're not sure yet who.
No, if any. But someone's going to be like, what did you do with your time on Earth? And I'll be like, you know, I really just stuck around for the snacks.
Mm-hmm.
And the deity will be like, dope.
Nice.
You're going to heaven. You're going to snack heaven.
Thank you. They're like, right answer. Here you go.
And thank you for listening to AE Double Back.
Yeah.
Twitter at AE Double Back and on Instagram at AE _ Double Back. And if you're a shit, Teresa's going to be real mean to you on there.
Mm.
You have given her carte blanche to just be a dick. So if you're a dick, you will get dicked right back.
Oh, God.
You know, if you're a dick, if you just have a different opinion than me, I won't be a dick, but I may be emphatic on my own opinion.
We have nothing to lose here on AE Double Back. Thank you for listening.